is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Attend a funeral. It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry. No more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
Come as you are indeed. This is Jim Fetzer, also known as the Conspiracy Guy, back on Revolution Radio and delighted to be here. I have missed you guys. And I hope you notice I wasn't still broadcasting because I've been very, very busy. Just to give you an update of what I've been about in the meanwhile, the reason I decided to try something different is that the time schedule of the Wednesday, Friday, Sunday 5 to 7 was really pretty awkward. And, you know, to give opportunity for more time with the family, it was a much better schedule for me to go to Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday from 8 to 10, all this in Central Time, of course. Plus, so many of the issues I deal with involve you know, visual evidence, photographs, documents, records, and the like. And I thought it would be a great advantage to be doing shows where I could actually do them as video, broadcast them as video, and lay out all the evidence so that beginning on the 24th of May, I began broadcasting The Conspiracy Guy on Sundays from 8 to 10. I began with a coronavirus phenomenon, medical emergency or political pandemic, where I was able to show the charts, the graphs, you know, the players, the images, the whole bit, and how grossly we have been played, not just here in the United States, but worldwide. Then on the 31st, the moon landing hoax, how we know we didn't go, where I had the opportunity to lay out, you know, a mass of evidence. I mean, these shows are running about 2 hours. And for the vast majority, it's my laying out the evidence and then, you know, taking chats, comments from the chat room for the last 15 minutes or so. Then at 7th of June, the New Zealand shootings, were they real or a political stunt? Now, there's just some tremendously good stuff here that the mainstream won't even allow to be broadcast. In fact, in New Zealand, to have a copy of the alleged shooting, which is cartoonish, it's virtually the equivalent of a video game. In fact, I'd say most video games are actually more accurate and informative. Hang on a second. Hello? Hello? No, I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm on here. I'm sorry I even bothered. I thought maybe it was Mitchell telling me he's around. In any case, in New Zealand, actually, if you have a copy of the video, you can face 10 years in jail. I mean, it's that absurd. So I'm telling you, you know, you want to go to JimTheConspiracyGuy.com and check these out, because not only do I broadcast them live, but they're archived on a couple of different locations, but they're all listed right on JimTheConspiracyGuy.com. And I think, you know, most of you really would be keenly interested in seeing what I've been doing with these new shows. Then on the 14th of June, I did on the Second Amendment and the politics of gun control, rather thoroughgoing, explaining, you know, the indispensability of having the right to defend yourself, where it seems to me, with all the rioting, looting, and, you know, shooting taking place in all these Democrat-controlled cities, that the whole idea of gun control has taken a heavy hit. I mean, there are communities, even in California, where the lines, as my colleague Dean Ryan observed, where the line for a gun store was so long, you'd think they were giving out free turkeys for Thanksgiving. I mean, it was just stunning. And that's in California. Then I turned to two parts on how to spot a false flag. Some of you may be already familiar with where I go through 15 or 20 of these fake staged events and show how you can tell they were faked and staged. I mean, it's important not just to call them out, but actually to present the evidence. So I did so here, and there was so much, it actually spelled over into two parts, a two-part series, How to Spot a False Flag, a sampler of illustrative events, part one, orchestrated events, part one, and then on the 28th of June, How to Spot a False Flag, a sampler of orchestrated events, where I included the more recent hate crimes of the Jussie Smollett fakery in Chicago and the George Floyd death in Minneapolis and the Bubba Wallace fraud over the noose. I mean, it's all so ridiculous to be unbelievable. Now, most of you are already well aware that Jussie Smollett actually hired two Nigerian bodybuilders, one of whom is his personal trainer and his brother, to attack him or simulate an attack about 2 a.m. in the morning as he was coming out of a subway where they were carrying a bottle of bleach that would have, by the way, at the temperature then prevailing, been frozen solid in a noose, where it turned out they bought some of what they used there, the rope, for example, at a hardware store where there's video footage, and where he paid them with a $3,500 personal check. This guy, I think it's fair to say, is not a rocket scientist. I mean, this is incredibly ridiculous. And where George Floyd, though I imagine I explained this more than once on The Raw Deal in my earlier shows before I began doing the conspiracy guy, this guy was huge. You know, he's like, I don't know, 6'5", over 300 pounds. They manacled him behind his back, put him in the squad car. Normally, that would be the occasion for transporting him to the precinct where he'd be booked and mug shots would be taken. Instead, they purportedly took him out the other side, put him on the ground, and this cop kneeled on him for a very specified number of minutes. Now, I'm going to explain that I began on, on the 2nd of July doing the FETS Presents, where I had individuals that I would be interviewing for 2 hours. And the first was Scott Bennett on the 2nd of July. Then on the 2nd, he's a former Army Intel and PsyOps officer. And of course, with his running mate, Michael Jay, has a show right here on Revolution Radio. Then Carl Herman, a nationally recognized history teacher, has done some brilliant work. For example, he calculated the improbability of having the mothers of the Sandy Hook kids be on the average 10 years older than the average for having a firstborn to be one in a quadrillion. I mean, it's so absurd that obviously something was terribly, terribly wrong. Then on the 9th of July, Dr. Catherine Horton, PhD, who's the international expert on targeted individuals and efforts to end it. Well, then on the 12th of July, let me not skip over the 5th of July, did Pizzagate, real or fiction, the American franchise of Pedogate. Now, this is pretty gruesome stuff. This is definitely not a show for children. But I think every adult in the house needs to watch it. Again, rather thorough and comprehensive, and implicates some players you might not originally suspect. Where, for example, in the WikiLeaks revelations, there turned out to be an email about Barack Obama having spent $65,000 to fly in pizza and hot dogs from Chicago for a private party at the White House. Now, there's so many problems with that. It's fairly stunning when you stop to ponder. I mean, after all, look, if this was really pizza and hot dogs being flown in from Chicago, they'd be soggy, unappetizing, inedible by the time they reach Washington, D.C. That's in the first place. In the second, the White House will not accept food from outside sources. So the very idea of Barack Obama flying in pizza and hot dogs from Chicago is ridiculous on its face, and something that the White House would never have approved. But then it turns out, in the language of Pedogate, hot dog is an expression for little boys, pizza for little girls. So what Barack Obama was actually doing was flying in little boys and little girls in from Chicago at taxpayer expense for $65,000 for a private party at the White House. Now, if that doesn't make you want to gag and barf, I'm telling you, this guy is a complete and total scumbag. And yet here, I myself, in my naivete, I actually voted for the guy twice, just as I voted for Bill Clinton. And when you watch this thing on Pizzagate, you'll discover that Hillary Clinton is one of the greatest monsters the world has ever known. I won't reveal the punchline, but you'll learn there of acts she performed with Huma Abedin that was so grotesque that I have hesitated describing them on the air. Well, you'll learn what you need to know about these ghastly people who have been leaders of the Democrat Party here for untold decades here, that are the scum of the earth. And then I did on the 12th of July, I had a mishap doing a DNC CV conspiracy, how the Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and the Democrat agenda fit together. the show got mangled somehow because I'm still learning the software program that sends it out on multiple channels as a video show. And it got botched. Something froze up, and I had to redo it. So, in fact, that's what I would do subsequently. Meanwhile, on the 14th of July, I featured Jack Mullen on the threat posed by Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and the progressive left. Then on the 16th, Alex Scott, a law enforcement expert, reveals the recent hate crimes, talked all about it. Now, on the July 19th, as a conspiracy guy, I actually featured a person instead of doing one of my classic, you know, exposés about conspiracies, namely Kevin Barrett, with whom I have collaborated virtually since 2006, where we had a show called The Dynamic Duel, for example, on Genesis, ran a year and a half, where I was offered a five-day-a-week, and I wanted to do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, so I invited Kevin to do Monday and Friday. And it was very sensational, but discontinued when Kevin ran for Congress. Well, because he is an expert on religion, I invited Kevin to join me to discuss Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, and the topic, how does religion affect politics? I also had the occasion during that show to talk a bit about the nature of morality. So we were really talking about these really classic philosophical issues of religion, morality, and politics and how they fit together. Then on the 21st, I had the wonderful opportunity to interview Sophia Smallstorm on the nature of viruses. What are they? Although Sophia is camera shy, so you don't actually see her visage, you hear her voice, and her unmistakable intelligence comes through. Fascinating interview. Then on the 23rd of July, Dina Pollard-Sachs, who's a professor of law, but also an expert on sex predators, who's published two volumes on the godfathers of sexual abuse, Bill Cosby, Harvey Weinstein, and Jeffrey Epstein. So, I mean, that was fabulous. Then on the 26th of July, I redid the DNC CV conspiracy, how Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and the Democratic Party fit together. Really important if you want to understand everything going on here today. But many of you who have been listening to my shows would have a pretty good idea about how it all fits together. Then, on the 28th, I was delighted to have Rebecca Carnes on for the video show, where, of course, I have featured her several times on The Raw Deal right here on Revolution Radio. Newtown Mom speaks out about Sandy Hook. Rebecca's just fabulous. Then on the 30th, Alexander Patali Esquire. This is a very notable trial attorney with more than 50 trial victories under his belt on my appeal of the Sandy Hook lawsuit. Then on the 2nd of August, I did fake news issues of identity, where I talked about how we were able to prove that Lee Oswald could not have not only been the lone demented gunman, but one of the shooters, where we've actually identified eight. I mean, I have identified six by name, rank, and serial number. Only has identified the seventh, with which I agree, and only one, the eighth, remains, who is firing from this single tree on the grassy area opposite the grassy knoll. I mean, that's really fascinating stuff, really reporting Larry Rivera's completely brilliant work. Then about a segment on Paul Fall, meaning on the death and replacement of Paul McCartney, which still, to my astonishment, continues to be perhaps the most emotional issue in terms of response. I'd say the public's response to Paul Fall is even or equal to that of Sandy Hook, where, you know, I've been pilloried for being a Sandy Hook skeptic, in spite of the fact that all the evidence is on my side, even my own sister, who was recently arrested for a protest movement and put in a paddy wagon with Jane Fonda for 3 hours, told me, you know, was reprimanding me for challenging Sandy Hook. And I asked her, I said, but Julia, have you ever looked at any of the evidence? And she said, I don't need to look at the evidence. I mean, it's that bad. This is my own sister. Unbelievable. And then about Hillary's use of body doubles. Really, really. Hillary has not only used multiple body doubles, but even during the debates, believe this or not, with Bernie Sanders and with Donald Trump, it was not Hillary on the stage. It was a body double who is younger, healthier, far more attractive, where they've designed a voice box that makes your voice indistinguishable from the original. And then this past Sunday, the World War II official narrative, historical fact, or mass illusion, I dealt with the most taboo subject of them all, which you'll find there, you know, very thorough, that's not going to leave any doubt about it, where a special feature was embedding the interview I'd done right here on The Raw Deal with Monica Schaefer. So I included the first hour of that interview in this piece about World War II. So these are things I've been up to. I've been enjoying a lot doing these shows, but the audience has been very modest. Now, we're going to deal with this as basically a marketing issue, I think, and a promotional issue. If you subscribe, you're notified when the show goes live, which, as you know, advertises from 8 to 10 Central Time on Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. Tonight, for example, being a Tuesday, I'm going to interview Ron Avery about the Sandy Hook lawsuit, the abuse of process and censorship galore, because Ron Avery took a keen interest in the case, and he actually created a website with basic documents in my case, and where he was rather dumbfounded to discover that he had included a copy of the PDF of the book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, over which I was being sued, which I had introduced into evidence, so it's actually in the public record. But the whole idea of this lawsuit against me was to suppress access to the book and to make it, you know, virtually impossible for anyone to get a hold of it. I'm not even allowed to talk about it. I will say some have been successful in tracking it down, but they cannot obtain it from me. In any case, since it was a public record, you would think that means a court record, it's supposed to be accessible to the public. But the court in this case has performed all kinds of feats of violating protocols, standard procedures, and the like. It's really a rather stunning history going on here. And, you know, come after me hammers and tongs for trying to expose that the person who appeared for the deposition under the name of Leonard Posner was not the same person whose photograph under the name of Leonard Posner has gone up millions of times worldwide. This is a really fascinating aspect of the case. We'll probably talk about that and other parts of it tonight at 8 p.m. Central on Jim the Conspiracy Guy. And then on Thursday, a wonderful woman by the name of Patty Saffron is going to talk about a world going stark raving mad, where Patty did a blog for me, which is published at jamesfetzer.org, about taking down the statue of Teddy Roosevelt, who was actually a magnificent human being. I mean, look, talk about a world gone stark raving mad. What the Democrats have been doing is so completely horrific. It's totally unbelievable. But where they're having a very tough time coping with Donald Trump. I mean, the guy is so brilliant. I'm willing to account Donald Trump as a political genius. It's been confirmed by recent events. Now, if any of you listen to his press conference on Friday, it was completely sensational. He was totally in command. He made one really pointed, appropriate remark after another, whether it's about policies or actions or events. It was just sensational, very impressive. While I got a part about what he did again on Saturday, I gather it was the equal to what occurred Friday. So, of course, you're not going to hear a word about it in the mainstream media. Not a word about it in the mainstream media. Now, it is shocking to me how Trump can take the measure of using executive orders to bring coronavirus relief to the public, and the public never learns about it. I mean, in the Wisconsin State Journal, notwithstanding this is an absolutely sensational development, it ought to have been a front page story. They buried it on page five. I mean, I'm telling you. The newspapers of the world are turning into propaganda pieces and nothing more. Even the New York Times, nothing more than propaganda, completely outrageous, ridiculous. Now, I do not know if Mitchell is here. I'm very eager to take callers today. Let me see if I can find anything here. I don't seem to see him available. Now, I do have a Skype number we can try, and I can see if I can bring you in, because I'm very eager to talk with everybody. And I know some of you have lots of questions and issues you want to discuss or debate. So let's see. See if this number will work. 715-245-5975. 715-245-5975. That's a Skype number. And if you can call it, if I'm successful, I can bring you in, join you, add you to the call, and we can have a conversation here. And there are so many of you I have missed so much. I mean, you know, one caller after another. And I know several or one or more, at least, such as Giuseppe, have your own shows here now on Revolution Radio. In fact, Giuseppe has very generously invited me to join him on Friday, which I'm very much looking forward to do in my own time slot, old time slot, 5 to 7. Here we got a break. Okay, we're getting a break. I'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
Hey guys, Scorpio here. Join me every Saturday at 2 p.m. here on Studio A for the Scorpio Conspiracy Show, where we discuss the hidden agendas that impact our lives and uncover the secret societies and the shadowy elite who construct the reality that we are supposed to believe. So be there Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Studio A on Revolution Radio, and learn what's really going down.
Lost a little honey on the lone highway. Left me for another on the lone highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the lone highway.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Giuseppe's trying to explain to me how I can add him to the call, which I very much want to do. Let me see what I can do by clicking top right in Skype and use add caller.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Excellent. Giuseppe, have I been able to bring you in? I added you as a caller. You there?
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? that the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities, and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Good day, wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Wow, that was really interesting. I didn't realize there was such a long break, because when I've been doing the shows in the past, we just had a continuous. Now, I tried to add Giuseppe. Do I have you there, my friend? Let me see again what I can do here. Giuseppe, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Let me see. Let me give this another shot here. Giuseppe, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Wow. Have not gotten a call yet. Need to add me from the joint call that lists you in Studio B to the left of those two icons. Okay, scroll to my name. Let me see. I am on the air. No, I am not yet added. Okay, let me see what I can do. Hopefully, let's see, Revolution Radio. Giuseppe's doing his best to let me get him on the air, but I'm not good at this. And let's see here. Okay. From the joint call, is you in Studio B to the left. There should be an ad caller. Okay. Let me see what I can do here. There we go. Ed. Giuseppe, have I got you now? Ah! Have you just... Oh, it's called... calling you, Giuseppe.
All right, you did it.
Miracle of miracles.
Well, welcome back.
It's such a pleasure to hear your voice, my friend.
Yes, likewise. Yeah, yeah. I managed to see quite a few of your YouTube shows. It's just that time is when I walk my huskies and we do all the stuff. But hopefully we can generate some interest. Boy, it's good to have you back, though. That's fantastic.
Well, it's terrific, Giuseppe, and I was just delighted when you were able to pick up the Friday time slot. I think that's just terrific. Tell me, how have you been enjoying? I thought you'd be a natural.
Yeah, it's gone well. My first guest was, when you follow a legend, you need to have a legend as a guest. So when I followed you, I had Dr. Judy Mikovits, my friend, on, and then
wonderful.
Last week's, one of the very interesting guests we had episode 3 was the Google whistleblower, Zach Voorhees. You should have him on. He is unbelievable what he shares as far as the communist corruption of Google and their commitment to the AI controlling everything. It's deeply disturbing. He's an excellent guest. But, you know, it's funny, Professor, that for years I would just enjoy listening to you. I'd practice guitar and just do things. But come the beginning of this year with this evil attack on our way of life, I mean, literally satanic attack by these globalists, I realized I needed to dust off my old skills at journalism and previous terrestrial radio and get in the game, because there's not enough people speaking up. I mean, you inspired me, so thank you very much.
Excellent. I'm just so pleased to hear that. Really tremendous. Now, the media is a totally lost cause. Even when there's something really significant to report, like these executive orders, they're spending endless time trying to figure a way to spin it negatively. They're not honest. It's totally corrupt. They're nothing but propaganda. A good friend of mine, actually, I've had him on the show before, Rolf Lundgren, who's active in conservative politics. He's a past libertarian. Now he's active in the Republican Party. Was telling me how he had a friend who has got a small store. And with regard to the Wisconsin State Journal, he would on Sundays have them deliver 4 copies of the paper, you know, and he'd usually sell 2 or 3. Well, this Sunday, yesterday, the day before, he didn't sell any. So he sent them all back in the paper, which has just shrunk, of course, because there's so little going on with the country locked down so extensively. It's just a rag. I mean, it's embarrassingly bad. And even, you know, even if you have an important story, they'll bury it on page 5. I mean, this is a Wisconsin State Journal. And he told me that the Milwaukee, you know, Journal Sentinel is just as bad, that they are also burying the important stories. I mean, it's an utter disgrace. And of course, now the fascinating thing, Giuseppe, is that Tucker Carlson has been just picking up viewers right and left, just as the mainstream and MSNBC and CNN have been losing them. For the first 3 or 4 months of this year, Tucker averaged over 4 million listeners. I mean, it was an all-time historic record, and he even was ahead of Sean Hannity. Laura Ingraham, who I think is actually very good. I think I like Laura's intellect more than I care for Hannity, but Hannity has a good, you know, connections with the president, so he'll often have him on. I mean, that's about the only place you can go for halfway decent reporting. And of the three, Tucker is far and away the best. Laura's usually pretty good. Hannity, I mark down lower. But Tucker's so good that I do my best not to miss a show. In fact, that was a reason that entered into my doing my Conspiracy Guy show and the Fetz Presents from 8 to 10, because here in the Central Time Zone, Tucker's on from 7 to 8. So I can catch Tucker and then do my show. And, you know, but that's the best we have in the news media today. The rest of it, it's almost all complete and total garbage. 80% of what you're getting from the media is false, provably false, propaganda, disinformation. It's a disgrace, Giuseppe.
It's a complete and utter disgrace. And I'd like to offer, Professor, since Mitchell may have other commitments, that I can begin producing your show next week so we can take calls, and I'll be glad to do that every Tuesday.
Giuseppe, I'd be ecstatic. That would be wonderful. Yeah, I know how much Mitchell's in demand, and he's involved in a lot of political activities, which I support. So, yeah, well, I mean, I accept. I'm delighted that you would offer. That's wonderful,
absolutely.
My friend.
Absolutely. So we've already got another caller, the Intrepid Scorpio, who wants to tell you about the guest he had on his show, of which I'm honored to be his co-host, James Tracy, last Saturday, had some amazing things to say. Scorpio, are you there?
Yes. Hello, Dr. Fetzer and Giuseppe. Dr. Fetzer, I would just like to welcome you back to the station. It really hasn't been the same without you. It really hasn't.
Well, those are very nice thoughts, Scorpio. I mean, I'm not doing, you know, I'm going to continue to do Jim the Conspiracy Guy, but I wanted to have the opportunity to come back and fill you all in on what's going on, what I've been up to, what I'm about. and encourage maybe you to take the opportunity now and then, because you can watch these shows anytime you want, what they're archived up there, to check out the ones. That's why I was going through the inventory so you could see, you know, it's rather a bit of a bonanza. But at this point in time, the audience has been very small. So that has been distressing to me. And one of the reasons why I wanted to come back to fill in on what's going on. Now, there's something amusing about all this, Giuseppe, because I caught when you know, I listened to your first show. You said how you commented about following in my steps. And you said I was doing this very funny, I thought, for some shekels. Well, you know, I don't have any money in this. I'm certainly not seeing money from it, but that you should use shekels, I thought was particularly amusing. So
of
I just
of course that's my insidious sense of humor. I like to throw in little dark humor.
It. Yeah, I like it. Well, Scorpio, tell me about James Tracy. I mean, I'm a huge supporter of James Tracy. He got the raw end, terrible deal from a campaign against him as a tenured associate professor of communications at Florida Atlantic, where he even had a course on the media and conspiracy. So, I mean, he was on his own private blog talking about the Wayne Carver press conference, which was so bizarre in so many ways, and published one of the first serious scholarly works about Sandy Hook. So the man who calls himself Leonard Posner ran a propaganda campaign against him down in South Florida, and he suffered. The university went along with it, and he was very improperly denied his position. So tell me, Scorpio, how is James faring?
Well, Jim, talk about a raw deal. Dr. Tracy certainly got a raw deal. And, it's incredible that he was dismissed from the university for essentially expressing his opinions on some controversial subjects on his private blog.
Yes.
And, you know, I come from a sort of a academic family. And in years past, tenure was essentially, sacrosanct. And you really could not be fired from tenure unless you had, burned down the administration building or killed somebody. So it's really quite an incredible story what the man's been through. And quite frankly, I think he's sitting on a gold mine in terms of a countersuit, because I don't think the administration has a legal foot to stand on.
Well, he has been making various legal overtures. What's the current status of his case? I mean, I'd like to see him win a massive verdict against Florida Atlantic. Their conduct was completely outrageous. Yes, he deserves a settlement in the millions of dollars. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely. Well, he didn't want to talk about the specifics of his case, and I didn't want to press him on that. But having looked through the details of it, I just don't see how they have any leg to stand on legally. They said that he had to ask permission to see if his activities outside the university were acceptable. And I don't think that any employer can do that unless you're doing something, illegal. It's outrageous. And the ironic part is, Dr. Fetzer, is that let's say that Dr. Tracy had been advocating for, bestiality or transgendered children, I don't think he would have got any flack at all from the administration.
Isn't it absurd, Scorpio? I think you're 100% correct. It's like Amazon banning my books. You know, Amazon has now banned six of my books, not only about Sandy Hook, but about the Boston bombing, about Orlando, about Charlottesville, about Parkland, even about the moon landing. Though I think they banned that not because of disputing whether or not we went to the moon, but rather the essays I included about the disputed history of World War II. And, I mean, the ADL asked Amazon to ban any book that challenged the Holocaust, and Amazon just wholesale banned like 2,000 books, and that was one of them.
Well, and the whole purpose of academia, as I have always understood it, is to have a full spectrum of ideological beliefs without censorship. And we've completely lost that right now, don't you think?
Right. And arbitrating among diverse points of view and opinion on the basis of rational deliberation and debate. where evidence makes a difference. And where, of course, as I've been emphasizing in all these shows I've been doing, you have to sort out the authentic from the inauthentic evidence. And the fact that, for example, in the case of JFK, they altered the autopsy x-rays to conceal a fist-sized blowout to the back of the head. Well, that's not something that the Russians or the mafia or the Cubans, Fidel Castro, could have done. So when you discover that x-rays that were under control of the Secret Service and medical officers of the United States Navy have been altered and tampered with, it very dramatically reduces the number of suspects.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, one other thing about your show that I've really missed was Paul calling in and wondering whether or not he'd be booted off the call for saying something outrageous.
I guess a couple of times here and there, but Paul got more time on the air than any other caller. So I don't think he ultimately didn't complain. I think he appreciated, you know, having the opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. And he really added an extra flavor to your show. And that was just a joke.
Oh, look, Scorpio, I know. I understand. I appreciate it. I thought that's what I miss the most about, you know, these new shows is I originally thought I'd be able to take callers, but it's not practical. In fact, I've got to pre-record the Conspiracy Guy shows on Sundays in advance, which is advantageous in the sense that I know they're there and complete. But after having gone through this one fiasco where the show froze up, you know, a video I was showing froze up in the middle and I had to redo the show, I realized that's the most reliable way to get them on, where the two guests, my guests on Tuesday and Thursdays, those are live, and I take questions from the chat room, but we usually, so we'll talk about an hour and 45 and take questions from the chat, but I've been interacting with the chat room members throughout the whole show. I like that part of it, but I have very much missed having the interaction with live callers like you, Giuseppe, Paul, and a host of others. I mean, it really did add a tremendous dimension to the program. And, you know, I liked having 1 hour with a guest or not, and then taking the whole second hour for callers. I mean, I thought that was a great arrangement.
Well, the way that you handled callers was always exemplary, and you always let people speak their mind, and I always really liked the way you handled the callers. Really excellent.
That's nice.
Well, Professor.
Yeah, there's Giuseppe. Go ahead.
With the way time is altered in this scamdemic where 1 minute seems like 1 week, there's been quite a few major changes for Paul, especially. He's now Paul from Portland, and he's a social justice warrior. And the other day, he put himself in front of a speeding pickup truck, and he was thrown 150 feet. But luckily, he landed on the crisis actor who played obese Heather Heyers, so he's okay.
I take it that's all fictional and tongue-in-cheek, but, you know,
yes,
I really thought I'd be hearing from Paul today. Is there some way we can reach out to him to bring him in?
Actually, there is. Let me text him and see if he's curious or available. I have his cell number.
I had the impression he was eager to partake to get back on the air again with me, which I...
That's true.
Which I would welcome. Would you believe the Portland...
That would be quite a reunion, absolutely.
This guy, Ted Wheeler, has been belatedly observing that maybe all of our rioting is going to help to reelect Donald Trump. I mean, how dumb is that? Do they really think that you could do rioting, looting, all this violence, burn down police precincts, move to defund or abolish a police and nobody would notice? Do the Democrats actually think that was going to win them any votes? I mean, this is just lunatic. Scorpio, your thoughts.
Well, Dr. Fitzer, I wanted to ask your opinion on this theory. Do you think it's possible that this whole movement to defund the police is like a, you know, circuitous route to trying to enter some kind of martial law, because, you know, this chaos is going to be the obvious result of not having any kind of police on the streets of major cities?
Well, there's several dimensions to this. Actually, in the Third Reich, they got rid of the police so the brown shirts could do their thing. And you can view Antifa and Black Lives Matter as the American equivalent of the brown shirts without any doubt. It turns out that Black Lives Matter is a front for the Democratic National Committee, that if you make a donation to Black Lives Matter, it goes to Blue Action, which distributes the money to Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, and other ne'er-do-wells. So it's all really quite a scam. As I've been emphasizing and mentioned in passing, of course, the whole George Floyd thing was a complete fraud. When he was arrested, he had a head of hair, not a lot, but there was clearly hair on his head, and he was manacled behind the back. They put him in the squad car, and we even now have the body cam footage of his arrest and apprehension, and he's a surprisingly timid guy. I mean, for a big man, he's very timid, comes across as very fragile. And even, I think it may have been the Daily Mail, which had all these videos, was observing there was no video of him being taken out the other side of the car, because that's when the magic trick occurred. Then they performed the stunt by taking out this African-American training torso manufactured by Sigma 7, so that when it's lying on the ground, there's no hair on the head. I mean, you know, how did that happen? He's got his hands in front of the chest, which is impossible since he was manacled behind. So already, you know, something's totally fraudulent. And then when he's lifted up and put on the gurney, no legs, because the torso was only, you know, like from the waist up. But it's clear that it's the Sigma 7 product. And interestingly, Sigma 7 was a Minneapolis company that vacated, left Minneapolis when this broke out, no doubt apprehensive that they might be targeted themselves once 2 and 2 was put together. But businesses are leaving Minneapolis. I mean, what do they think would happen if you're going to defund the police? A businessman is going to say, how the hell can I maintain a business if the police aren't there to protect me? New York City, the wealthy are leaving New York City. And it turns out, you know, the wealthiest 5%, which have the resources to do it, pay 60% of the taxes in New York City. And it's all these Democrat governors and Democrat mayors that are bringing about this catastrophic outcome. They are destroying their own cities. They're siphoning away all the funds, all the revenue they had to maintain a decent environment. So these cities are going to turn into ghettos. It's just absolutely stunning what's happening. And it's clearly totally political. It's the Democrats cannot maintain governance. And, of course, they've been big on letting the criminals out, you know, get on the fake pretext of the coronavirus. Well, you get the criminals out and you defund the police, what's going to happen? Crime is going to skyrocket, and that's what's been happening. Crime is skyrocketing. But it's so obvious, it's so predictable that this has to be the deliberate outcome that they intended all along.
Yes, and Dr. Fetcher, I was wondering if you noticed that, St. Floyd's coffin at the funeral was awfully small for a man that's 6'4 to 6 feet tall.
You know, I didn't pay attention to the coffin, but I'm sure you're right about that. A similar thing happened in that shooting in Charleston, the church shooting. They actually had a coffin, an open coffin, but the guy in the coffin didn't look anything like the celebrated minister. He was much too dark. He looked Haitian. He had the wrong build. So they do make these kinds of mistakes. The people running these ops are not rocket scientists, and sometimes they commit egregious blunders. There are quite a few at Sandy Hook, others at Orlando. You know, I mean, the permit for the Orlando Club had expired 3 years in advance. That's when they painted it from white to black to show it was closed. It only had 11 parking spots. It only had a legal occupancy of 150. And yet the official story had it crammed with over 300 people. They claimed no one could escape, but there were actually 6 exits when you look at the blueprint of the building. So people should have been streaming out of the building. Or there ought to have been, if there were 300 when they had only 11 parking spaces, abandoned vehicles all over the place. They were not there. I mean, you get these egregious blunders. They even put together a video that was supposed to be of dancing inside the club. It had no date time stamp, but there was lots of room. I mean, the dancers were very spacious. It was like they were social distancing, which, of course, would have been impossible in this relatively small facility. They would have been packed in there like sardines. But you have to be able to think things through to sort them out. So, you know, I appreciate everything you and Giuseppe are doing and others. Giuseppe, do we have any luck tracking down Paul?
I texted him and he hasn't replied. I know he's got a new job now, and so I don't know if he's available. Oh, I talked to him over the weekend, and he was looking forward to calling in, so maybe he'll be on a break. But as soon as he alerts me that he's available via text, I will pull him in.
I noticed we're over the top of the hour, but there was no break. It was like we had a double break there at the bottom of the hour. I was kind of baffled by that. But then on my older show, you know, when I was here before, I didn't have a break at the bottom of the hour, only at the top.
Well, I'm sure.
I think it's just a matter of reprogramming, you know, your show back into the system.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not surprised that that would happen. And I'm not surprised Mitchell has so many demands on his time. It's very generous of you, Giuseppe, to volunteer to step in to produce. That's great, because that's I'm just, as you can tell, I'm fumbling when I'm trying to bring in callers if I don't have a producer to handle it.
Oh, yeah. We'll starting next week, I'll produce, and we'll get the callers flowing in. You know, one thing, getting back to James Tracy,
yes.
It was amazing that the villain – in this piece was both Leonard Posner for you and him.
Yeah.
And secondly, the fine South Korean judge, Susan Rosenberg, threw out five of his six key points that would have made it be a slam dunk in Casey's favor. The corruption of the judiciary in favor of globalists these days is just shocking. This country is going to hell in a handbasket.
It is. It is. It is. It is. This is very strange. It says here, presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden has chosen Senator Kamala Harris to be his running mate. He announced Tuesday. I decided that Kamala Harris is the best person to help me take this fight to Donald Trump and Mike Pence and then to lead the nation starting in January of 2021. But that's completely ridiculous. She made her way into politics on her back. She had this famous affair with Willie Brown, who was porking her on a regular basis, it appears, and gave her two cushy assignments with a California state legislature. Willie Brown even told Kamala that it would be a mistake for her to accept if she were offered the vice presidency. Actually, earlier today, when I did this Real Deal report with Dean Ryan and Mike Barra, we were explaining that Kamala Harris had defriended Joe Biden. It appeared she'd gone to visit Biden and he wasn't going to pick her, that he was going to go for Susan Rice. But, you know, what's fascinating about this, which we also talked about, is that Trump, and I believe this was just yesterday, he was given a marvelously phrased question by an Asian-looking woman journalist who spoke so clearly and articulately. And she said, do you think that the reason why Susan Rice appears to be high on the list of potential choices for the vice presidency is that she would be in the best position to suppress and manipulate information about the Russiagate involvement of members of the Obama administration? I mean, she just said it out so clearly. And Trump responded and just laid it out. And he said, yeah, he thought, you know, more or less that was entirely possible. And he said that we now know who was involved, and it included Barack Obama and Joe Biden and James Comey and Jim Clapper and Strzok and Lisa Pence and he just gave a list of the culprits right there. And of course, you're not going to hear that on the mainstream media. I think the pick of this Kamala Harris is ridiculous. She's a flyweight. She has no substance whatsoever, and her history in the role of Attorney General in California is completely deplorable. Giuseppe, I don't see this working well for Biden, do you?
No, I am astounded that the Democratic Party has turned into the Bolshevik 2.0 party, championing communism and anarchy in the streets, and allowing the decimation of the traditional American family, no matter what your skin color is. And I think that I've seen some pundits who are stating that Kamala Harris isn't even eligible to be vice president or president because she's not a natural born citizen of the United States.
Yeah, that's a very good question. Barack Obama got away with that one. So, I mean, I'm sure as hell that Kamala Harris is not going to be allowed to escape. So that's a very good point, Giuseppe. Very good point. Many of us, of course, have felt that it was Michelle who's going to ride to the rescue. And you know, as far as I'm concerned, if someone wants to vote for Michelle Obama, that's fine with me, as long as they understand they're voting for a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill. I don't go for all these lies, this phony, this nonsense. I mean, Michelle and Brock don't have any children. They borrowed them from her former physician. The older girl looks just like her real father. The younger, just like her real mother. I mean, I'm frankly just sick and tired of all the bullshit. And yet that's all we're getting from the mainstream media these days. Nothing but 100% unadulterated bullshit.
Fear and bullshit. It's the new all-you-can-eat smorgasbord.
Yeah. Yeah, bullshit with a little side of fear. You're right. And it's ridiculous. Just completely ridiculous. And Antifa, Black Lives Matter. That Antifa contingent got a very unwelcome reception in Colorado the other day, where there were pro-police people there, and they had an encounter, and the Antifa people came up on a short end of the stick. But, I mean, this is going to set an inspiring example, just as did the St. Louis couple who brandished their weapons when they were invaded by about 100 protesters who were threatening to shoot their dog, burn down their home, and kill them. I mean, what could be more appropriate than self-defense under those circumstances?
Well, Jim, you know, those peaceful protesters broke down their gate to the property very peacefully. So, you know, they really were within their rights to, go ahead and invade those people's property.
What was with the lunatic who was going to prosecute the couple for defending themselves? I mean, how bad is that?
Well, yes. You know, Jim, I've been saying for some time that we are dealing with a fully weaponized mainstream media now. And like you said, it's fear and bullshit. We've gone from fear and loathing to fear and bullshit.
100% of the time. I mean, it used to be here and there, now and then, but now it's every single day, 24/7. They're even trying to resurrect Russiagate. I mean, this is just so outrageous. Just at the point where the indictments are about to fall, and I do believe they are going to fall, and I do believe that Trump wanted that question to be asked so he could give a thumbnail sketch. But it might even, at a single stroke, have taken Susan Rice out of the running. We had agreed during our debate that if Susan Rice were picked, it's because they were going to go with a full court press to defend Obama administration from the revelations that are forthcoming from the Durham investigation and the Department of Justice. I don't think they can do it. I don't think Susan Rice would have been able to do it. She's actually the one who drew in the British to spy on the Trump campaign and the Trump administration. I mean, they acknowledge it in their formal documentation. So, you know, I don't think this stuff is going to be able to endure. It's certainly not going to succeed. I believe their best chance is try to create enough chaos that, in fact, it's not possible to settle the who won the election by the inauguration date, at which point, according to Lawrence Tribe, who is a constitutional professor at Harvard for whom I used to have a considerable amount of respect, the Speaker of the House would become president if the election were not resolved. And of course, that would be catastrophic. Nancy Pelosi is deeply involved in all end of corrupt events, including the Pizzagate activities. It's just outrageous.
It's interesting that the polarization that's occurred in this country now. I mean, can you imagine any decent American living in any small business owner living in a flyover state or even living in a suburb, witnessing what the Democrats, including Biden, including Kamala Harris especially, have done to support this anarchistic, communistic, Bolshevik attack on our way of life, on the decent way of life for the entrepreneur, the small business owner, the family who wants to send their kids to school and have a decent upbringing. Can you imagine anyone, and that's a vast majority of every pigmentation, actually voting Democratic this year? I can't see it in any way, even though these polls are lying. Well, of course they're lying. But what I'm concerned with is when Trump is reelected, this the major cities are going to go up in riots like we've never seen.
Well, it's just more destruction the Democrats are inflicting upon themselves. You know, I mean, really, the black vote is crucial here. Rasmussen, back already in December, was reporting that 39% of blacks were intending to vote for Trump, and he is polling black likely voters. Most of these polls are just polling voters, whether they're likely to vote or not vote, and thereby they dilute the significance of the finding. But that was a very powerful result, and it's been confirmed by subsequent polls that showed that 37% were standing, you know, with Trump. And in fact, I've heard some estimates that go as high as 49%. Well, now, if Trump just got a percentage of that, he's going to win going away. In fact, I'm projecting he's going to win 40 to 45 states, Giuseppe. I think he's going to have a blowout here. And just think about it. How could any middle class or swing voter look at the country when it's going up in flames, looting, with a party wanting to defund or abolish the police? I mean, that is so colossally stupid. You know, so they want to do for the United States what they've done for Seattle, what they've done for Portland, what they've done for Chicago. I don't think anyone can buy that. I don't think they can sell it. Kamala Harris is not going to help.
Well, this is very interesting, Dr. Fetzer. What do you think about the possibility of the Democrats being able to pull off a mail-in voting scheme? Because I think that's the only way they can possibly win. Nevada has recently said they're going to go all in on mail-in voting. What are your thoughts on that and the possibility of massive fraud if they get this mail-in voting scheme going?
Yeah, that's the whole idea, massive fraud. And also, you see, by the scenario I was sketching, if they have mail-in ballots, look, we had a contest for a congressional seat in New York where they had mail-in ballots in 6 weeks. It may now be 7 or 8. It's unresolved. So that's perfect for the Democrat recipe, which is just to create so much chaos that the election is unresolved when the date comes. And then if Lawrence Tribe has it right, why, Nancy Pelosi just steps right in and, you know, the country is taken to the cleaners. I mean, it's just a disgusting. The very thought is awful, but I do believe that's correct. That's the best the Democrats can do. They don't have a viable candidate. Joe Biden is brain damaged, and he was never more than mediocre to begin with. I mean, that's shocking. He ran for the presidency 3 years over a 32-year period, and he did not manage to win a single caucus or a single primary. It was only after Google picked up the cudgels on his behalf and started sending out these voter reminders in South Carolina, where Google now, you know, Robert Epstein is projected may be able to shift 10% of the vote in favor of the Democratic candidate. But the guy is totally incompetent. He can't put together two sentences so that, you know, there are reasons why they are trying to hide Biden. They don't want him to debate. And it's not only because if he were to debate, it would be obvious he's unfit for office. He's totally incompetent, mentally, cognitively impaired, but that his real agenda would be nailed down during the series of questions and answers, and it would turn out the revelation for the American people would be that although he tries to preserve his image as a centrist, he's actually gone far, far to the left. And, you know, that would be very, very disturbing and disconcerting to those who have thought of Joe Biden as a centrist when he's manifestly not.
I mean, we haven't even begun to factor in this insane scamdemic in this slave training with masks and all this assault that's going on, this trauma-based operant conditioning on the average American that, you know, everyone you speak to, they feel so stressed and tired and they're just under constant agitation. And this is all part of the same plan, I believe. What do you think?
Oh, I believe you're right. I mean, look at it. I mean, all the best experts observe that social distancing, the lockdown are counterproductive. I mean, it should be obvious to everyone wearing a mask restricts the flow of oxygen to your body. You're breathing recycled oxygen depleted air. That means your cardiovascular system is being put under additional stress. You're killing body cells, including brain cells, such that you've heard me project more than once, no doubt, that when we get through this, the average IQ of Americans will have dropped by 5 points, which is all the more distressing because we weren't all that smart to begin with.
No kidding. That's for certain. What are your thoughts on this breakneck pace to develop an unproven, untested, in all likelihood toxic and deadly vaccine and then inject millions of people worldwide?
Yeah, it's catastrophic. I mean, even Bill Gates himself acknowledged long ago that if he were able to inoculate the population of the world, which is roughly 7 billion, that there would be 700,000 deaths, which is more than are going to die from the coronavirus altogether. Of course, for him, it's a business. It's big bucks. He makes money after off of vaccines. And unfortunately, what they're trying to market here is something that's not a form of medicine. Catherine Austin Pitts has a brilliant piece about this that I published on my blog at jamesfetzer.org, where she's explaining that these injectables include all kinds of weird stuff, aborted tissue, heavy metals, little microscopic chips that are going to enable you to keep records of your banking. You know, they want to go to all digital currency, some kind of a brain-body interface that will allow them to affect your moods and so forth. And the key point she makes is this. They're trying to promote it as a vaccine because Congress, in its infinite stupidity, back in 1986, passed an exemption for the pharmaceutical industry from adverse effects from its vaccines, so that if they can get it promoted as a vaccine, then they'll be exempt from liability if it winds up bringing about the deaths of hundreds of thousands of human beings. But the point she makes, these injectables are not medicine and therefore cannot possibly properly qualify as vaccines. But that's the big scam they're working on right now as we speak.
Yes, you know, the word injectable is very appropriate because it's not medicine. And Dr. Fetzer, I was wondering what your thoughts were on the new development that Vladimir Putin is claiming that Russia has a workable vaccine, and that one of his daughters was actually injected with it and is inoculated.
Yeah, I just read that today. Well, you know, in my opinion, Vladimir Putin is the only true statesman astride the world stage. I take him very seriously. He's incredibly smart. He knows what he's doing. And of course, if he actually does have a vaccine, as he is maintaining, and I would find it difficult to doubt, but I would like to learn more about it, then that may mean we're going to have a real vaccine because the Russians aren't driven by the profit motive. This is one of the reasons why Russian military equipment is far superior to Americans. The American contractors factor in a profit motive, so they're producing products that it's a two-pronged strategy to benefit their profit motive. They deliberately produce products that are not of the highest standard so they can get maintenance contracts that are going to double their profits over the long run, whereas the Russians can't afford that luxury. They actually produce high-quality military equipment. In fact, their anti-missile missiles, their anti-submarine torpedoes, their anti-ship missiles are all the best in the world. So that, you know, this is a reason why I have observed on numerous occasions that it would be very unwise for the United States to provoke a war with Russia, because they, in all probability, would prevail over us relatively effortlessly. But if Putin claims they have a vaccine, what's good about it is it's probably not one that's loaded with injectables and all the nonsense that Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci, and the others want to pack in. So if they actually have a vaccine, Giuseppe, that would actually be a positive development if it has the characteristics that I'm suggesting, which would mean it could be a real solution. But of course, we already have a solution that everyone's been pilloried over, hydroxychloroquine. I've taken it myself as a precaution because it not only functions therapeutically as a cure, but also as a preventative to keep you from having, being affected by the coronavirus, so that it's cheap, inexpensive, and non-invasive. It doesn't require sticking any needles in your body. The government has staggering quantities of this hydroxychloroquine that has been donated to the government, and I very much want Trump to open that vault of a certain cure because it's virtually 100% successful. But it is fascinating, as you observed, Giuseppe, I just learned this morning, that Putin had made those observations and that his own daughter is actually being given the treatment.
If anyone was going to play it straight with a potential novel coronavirus, it would be the Russian scientists and the medicinal complex. But I have to say I'm extremely skeptical because, literally trillions of dollars have been put into trying to find a vaccine for the cold, which is the coronavirus, the waste of time and money that is the flu vaccine, that when they brought it out, two decades ago, they were like, one shot and you'll never get the flu again. And then it was like one shot each year. And now it's like one shot with a lot of boosters. And then we'll have 90% effectiveness. Oh, well, it's 75% effectiveness. Well, actually it's 60% effectiveness. And so
I think they're down to about 10% effective. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's just a lottery. They don't actually have a cure for anything. I mean, it's embarrassingly bad.
The only thing I would guess that the Russians, who are pragmatic, shrewd people, would do is it would be some type of super immune boosting shot. Like, I know my mother, who passed away a few years ago, had multiple sclerosis, and she would get a B12 shot, and it would really help her. It would really boost her engine, and so it's gonna probably be something like an injection of B12, C, and other immune boosters, because that's the only real way you can resolve any type of flu cold-based illness. Is your immune system has to keep it at bay. There's never going to be a cure for the actual virus, the actual corona, because it mutates too quickly.
Yeah, those are all excellent points, Giuseppe. I agree completely. So it is puzzling, isn't it, that we have this claim for a vaccine coming from Russia, from a usually reliable source. And I do hold Vladimir Putin in high esteem, and I would regard him as far more truthful than certainly any Democratic politician. Trump, I think, is a pretty reliable guy, but he's pretty casual sometimes and informal about his use of language, which makes him vulnerable to a lot of attacks that aren't really truly warranted by the other side. Let's bring back Scorpio. If you're still here, Scorpio, please do give us your thoughts about these matters.
Well, where do you think this this COVID agenda is going in the long term? Because Dr. Fetzer, I see that they're trying to play this thing out until after the election. And, you know, they're making little kids go to school with masks on and making little kids full of fear. What do you think the end game of this is for this agenda?
Well, I do think it has been to create enough chaos that the public would become disenchanted with Trump, but it hasn't played out. Would you believe if you go all the way back to when Joe Biden first announced his candidacy, he made it all wrapped around the events in Charlottesville, Virginia, which were all staged and arranged. In fact, there was a peaceful protest against the removal of a statue of Robert E. Lee. It was permitted. But the governor of the state, Terry McAuliffe, who's a buddy of Hillary Clinton, had the mayor order the Charlottesville police to stand down so he could use his state police to channel the peaceful protesters into a violent confrontation with Antifa and Black Lives Matter, who'd been bussed in by George Soros, even on the same bus. And, of course, meanwhile, there was this completely contrived automobile crash elsewhere where there were two different versions of the car, which was the Dodge Challenger. One had a sunroof and the other didn't. One had a racing stripe, the other didn't. There were two different drivers. One was the 20-year-old diagnosed schizophrenic with thick prescription glasses who was held responsible when the party actually driving the vehicle was this 32-year-old Army veteran from Ohio who commands a battalion of reservists there. He's a very skillful driver. When he ran the car into a collision with these two vans that had been parked there for about 5 minutes with no driver at the scene so they wouldn't suffer any whiplash, he backed out with such skill and put up the brief in a big NASCAR driver booming.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came and unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Hi, everybody. It's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media, political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Giuseppe, am I correct to infer you have added someone, a caller from California?
Yes, Paul from Portland, the social justice warrior.
Oh, yeah, Paul from Portland. Paul, tell us, it's so great to have you here. But it's just been announced that Joe Biden has picked Kamala Harris to be his running mate. I think that's really a colossal mistake. She doesn't benefit him politically because California was already in his pocket. And she was not a significant figure in the primaries. I don't think she even made it to the first. So nobody really cares about her. And then actually her most notable contribution during the debates was a critique of Joe Biden, which is going to get massive coverage now as a campaign commercial. What are your thoughts?
Well, thank God. I only slept with her a couple of times, but she's been following me around like a dog looking for a piece of bacon ever since, so I can finally get rid of her, you know. Jesus,
I thought that woman
would never leave me alone.
Everyone knows that she boffed her way to the top with Willie Brown, and even Willie Brown told her if she's offered the vice presidency, she ought to turn it down. She had a holdout to be attorney general in a Biden administration, but not to run as vice president. I wonder if Trump's observations about the perps in relation to Russiagate, where Susan Rice figured so large, actually took her out at the last minute, because we have reports she's been selling off her stock. And we also had the report that Kamala had earlier unfriended herself from Joe Biden out of pique that she wasn't going to be picked. So it all looks like there may have been some last minute haggling going on here.
Well, this could very well support my double black theory. I think for a long time, the Jews, sorry, I got to use that word, have been dreaming of the day when they could give us the double black, a black president and a black vice president. So when Uncle Joe takes his little nap, then Kamala Harris is going to appoint somebody. And so let's say that this occurs just for the fun of it. I already got a bet down at several offshore books with big odds. So, we'll see what happens.
I like that because it's going to be Michelle. They got to bring in Michelle. She's got like six. Get this. She's got like 16 million Facebook followers, whereas Kamala, I think, had like 4 million. So she's like four times more popular. Of course, she's much better known and more popular. It's just she's totally unqualified for the position. The fact that people might like her, have a favorable attitude toward this man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill doesn't mean she's qualified for the position.
The real Kamala Harris just passed away. He was a wrestler named James Harris, but he painted himself up in vibrant African colors and dressed like a 400-pound Bush men, and he would have been more qualified to be vice president than the current Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
And the beauty of having Kamala Harris come on as potential president after Joe Biden takes a dirt nap is that you'll be a misogynist and a racist if you disagree with anything she does.
Well,
right.
She's a total mediocrity. She was an utter failure as attorney general. She did nothing for blacks. She was brutal to prisoners. She's going to be easy target here. I think Trump can dismember Kamala Harris and use her against Biden, her running mate. I think it's a catastrophe. Paul, I want to hear from you, my friend. It's been so long. Tell me.
Well, before I make any further political commentary, I definitely want to say on a personal note, I'm so happy to have you back on the air because you don't have any idea what my psychoanalysis bills have been like. The therapist that I've been seeing, Dr. Mo Feldman, he just doesn't understand me. And as a matter of fact, he's charging me more. He actually said to me, if you can believe this, my doctor, Dr. Mo Feldman, he said to me, Paul, I suspect that you might be a Nazi or at least have Nazi sympathies, but I'm not sure. We need to schedule another 6 sessions to make sure. And if you don't mind, I'm going to charge a small surcharge because I think you're an extremely difficult patient. So I'm so happy to have a forum where I can occasionally express my anti-Semitism among the like comrades.
Paul, Jesus, that sounds absolutely dreadful.
So
now Giuseppe was saying you turned into a truth justice warrior and moved to Portland so you could join the fight there against the police. And I see we have Brew here too. Paul, tell us, are you actually moving to Portland to join Antifa?
No, I'm not. But I want to hear from Brew. But I will say in a straightforward manner, they are already running advertisements where I live in my county in California. They're running advertisements on the radio telling us that we should mail in our votes because it's going to be safer. I am not kidding you.
Well, see, why Giuseppe was asking about why they were dragging out the coronavirus thing. And it's so they'll have a justification for mail-in ballots so they can clog up the system and make it impossible to be resolved before Nancy Pelosi can step in if Lawrence Tribe has it right. Brew, it's so great to have you here, my friend.
Yeah, they got big issues with Kamala Harris. First of all, she's got an identity crisis. She can't decide if she's Indian, Hindu Indian, or if she's black, because the fact of the matter is the Indian community, the Hindus, accepted her and threw a big hoopla when she took her first political office in California and said they were so happy to have this Indian woman, so on in heritage, to take this position. Then when she became senator, the blacks turned around and accepted her and said she was black. So she has this identity crisis. And besides that, she's technically not black as an African black. Her father is Jamaican, who has nothing kind to say about Kamala Harris, by the way. And if all of her, let's say, bamboozling in California, you talked about, was it Brown? Is it Brown you said? Oh. That you got on her knees for Brown?
Well, Willie Brown, yeah, he's former.
Oh, speaker. Willie Brown, yeah.
So she raised the ranks with Willie Brown by being on her hands and knees and so on and so forth. But you know, she not only she was arresting people for marijuana, do drugs, do time with, you know, small amounts of marijuana. She was locking people up. She has all that to contend with. Nothing good for minorities. And on top of it all, there is a legalization problem here that she is not technically a natural born citizen. Her parents, coming from different countries, met in the United States. They were never citizens in the United States. They moved off to Canada for several years. Kamala Harris was born. Her parents were never citizens of the United States. Therefore, Kamala Harris is never a citizen in the United States. So they're going to try and pull another Obama here.
I don't think they can get away with it twice. I really don't think they can get away with it twice. You're telling me she was born in Canada?
her parents were never citizens of the United States.
No, I
and
get
they moved
right.
off, even though
born,
they,
where was
they,
she born
they went
geographically?
Off. Technically, I can't tell you because her story is so confusing. Where the parents met in America, they moved to Canada, they were living in Canada, and then came along Kamala. Did she come along in the United States or did she come along in Canada? Technically, we think whatever. Whatever the case may be, the bottom line is, and we got a bunch of people talking about this, been talking about this for 2 years, Kamala Harris is not a natural born U.S. citizen, which makes her ineligible.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
I would add to what Bruce said. If you remember, Jim, Bruce is one of the ones that first on one of these calls informed us and actually made me more aware of the fact that they're just bringing these people in and seeding them in various parts of the country. They come in, they put them on a plane, they got a handler, various immigrants from various countries, and they just start taking flights to all these different cities. I just recently pulled up an article about it. So according to our overlords, the only people that exist in the world are Americans who've yet to arrive and put their feet on the ground here. We stopped having a country quite a long time ago, unfortunately.
Go ahead. I don't think they can get away with this happy horseshit with Trump and Pence. I mean, and Kamala Harris, she's such a mediocrity. She's so full of herself. She doesn't care about other people. She has no empathy. She's not very smart. I think they're going to make mincemeat out of her. And the fact that her greatest contribution heretofore has been a critique of Joe Biden during the Democrat debates, I think that's the greatest benefit Trump could ask for a VP, for Biden, who's such a total loss anyway.
Look, Kamala Harris being in California, what do we have in California among all these other places in the United States and around the world? We got these people, they're dealing with the cartels and they're dealing with human trafficking. They're dealing with drug trafficking, money laundering, the Chinese. These people are criminalities up the wazoo. Now, if the Trump administration is doing what they're supposed to be doing, and that's what we're supposed to believe they're doing in the background here, is getting all these people to get these people to tribunals and get them arrested and locked up or executed, whatever the case may be, all of these people are guilty. And if not just for regular crimes of human trafficking and money laundering and all this other garbage, but for treason to the United States, for the plot against our country, our presidency, our constitution.
Yes. Yes.
Hey,
yesterday Trump was asked a softball question by a journalist, a very calmly young Asian woman, very articulate. And she was asking him, did he believe that the reason Susan Rice was so high on the list of prospects to be Biden's vice presidential running mate was because she would be in the best position to cover up the involvement of the members of the Obama administration in the treasonous actions against Trump and his campaign. And he went down a laundry list about who was involved by name: Barack Obama, Joe Biden, James Comey, Clapper. It was impressive. It was very impressive. And it cannot have been a coincidence.
Here's a fun fact about Susan Rice. At the end of when Trump was getting inaugurated, the day Trump was getting inaugurated, people were talking about the letter that Susan Rice sent to herself saying how they did everything by the book and all this other stuff to try and cover her butt. Well, guess what? Trump was already took his oath of office by noon that day. She sent that letter, that email to herself at 12:15 that day. Trump was already the president 15 to 20 minutes before she even sent that to herself. So it was already the Trump presidency when she tried to cover her butt. But nobody, a lot of people have seen this, but nobody ever talks about it, which obviously it's the mainstream media. They won't. Go ahead.
Well, it's an inconvenient truth there, Bruce, don't you know?
Let me just say, I'm willing to bet that already tonight on either Tucker or Hannity or both, you're going to see the Kamala Harris taking apart Joe Biden during the Democrat debates. This is just too precious for words. It's so stupid that they have no candidates at all. One is brain damaged.
Right.
And the other's she's just a flake, she's a political prostitute.
And that's the thing, if I can quickly interject it, I've just thought about over and over, and it's not an original thought, and I've pointed it out before, but it's the joke that our political system and our country and our so-called government has become, that we're even considering a man like Joe Biden to be a viable candidate, that they can't be required to administer some sort of health or cognitive test that would rule him out. For God's sake, the guy would not be hired for any sort of a job when you think about it, and yet he's being considered for quote-unquote leader of the free world. It's absolutely insane. But just quickly, let me interject a little story now that I have all four of you here on the line, or all four of us are here, which I consider to be a nice group. Thank you very much, and I consider you all to be my friends. So I'm going to tell a little story of an interaction with – I perfectly sums it up. I've often called in and said, well, I met this person, and they said this, and they said that, you know, just relating the situation we're in by my encounters. And there almost always has to do with me walking my dog, you know, the all-American activity. Well, I just had one the other day, and the guy actually said it, and he put it so perfectly, if you can believe it or not, I was at a loss for words. I walked by a man. He's probably in his 70s, lots of gray hair. My guess is minimum of early to mid-70s. He's got a full mask on. It's darn near 85 degrees out. And I just, in a very casual manner, I say, hi, sir. Do you know what hypoxia is? He says, pardon me? I said, hypoxia. Have you heard of it? He goes, no. I said, well, you know, lower oxygen, increased CO2, a little bit of more strain on your cardiovascular system, you know, increased cortisol levels. That's what those masks cause. That's what they do. And he goes like this. Literally, he said these words. He goes, well, you know, I'm just doing what the people on television think is best. I swear to God, I'm not making this up. And this just points to the problem that we have. He's the only one that's articulated it. I've had various people say various things, but in essence, that's what it is across the country. People are just doing what the people on television say, and in many cases, they're believing what the people on television say. I literally just drooped my shoulders and walked away. I had nothing more to say to the guy.
You know, as painful as it is, Paul, you're absolutely right, and I've restricted my TV viewing only to porno.
Well, you know, you can catch George Floyd. I actually had one of my commentators on my blog put up a porn film with George Floyd, which caused consternation when I realized what he'd done. Of course, I took it down. But I mean, George Floyd was making his contributions to the cause.
He's a Renaissance man.
There you go.
If the black mayors and the black police chiefs and the black district attorneys are any indication of how they're going to handle governance, I think we're in for a treat when we get a couple of black women in the office. What do you guys think? It's going to be some fireworks for sure.
Well, they've proven themselves to be so incompetent. I mean, look at Lori Lightfoot in Chicago, for example. It's awful that attorney in St. Louis who was going to bring charges against a couple for defending themselves. I mean, what?
Right.
It's and then you got Fox. What's her name? Kim Fox in Chicago, who let Jussie Smollett off. The charges have been reinstated. But that was not for lack of trying.
And the police chief of Seattle and the mayor of San Francisco and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How did this happen, America? But it did.
Well, yeah. You know, I have a question for Dr. Fetz here and actually everyone on the panel here. We've been talking about Kamala Harris, but how is Joe Biden going to manage to withstand a debate with Donald Trump? How is that going to happen, guys?
They're going to try to make it virtual at most, avoid it altogether if possible, and make it virtual where he's on a video and he's got people with a big screen telling him exactly what to say in response to each question. But he can't even handle that. He'll muck that up,
actually,
too, I guarantee you.
I predict better than...
Oh, just one quick thing, Brew. I predict it will be someone using deep fake technology, and all of a sudden... Joe Biden will seem very lucid. Go ahead, Brew.
Yeah, well, that's my point here. Where Where is Hunter? That's been the hashtag Donald Trump put out upwards of 6 months ago. And where is Hunter? Hunter is surrounded by all the winners of the TV show Face Off, the best of the best to do FX type makeup. Then they've hired around the Joe Biden team, the best of the best technology experts doing CGI and all that other stuff for video and whatnot. That's what they got ready for the presidency of Joe Biden. It won't be Joe Biden himself. It will be Hunter Biden in makeup and whatnot. They've had CIA technology with these masks around since the 1980s, where a woman could come in and put on a mask and the president of the United States himself wouldn't have been able to tell who was under that mask and think it was a real human being and a real person and a real natural person until they take off that mask. So that's the kind of technology they had in the 80s. Imagine what they have today, 2020.
I think that's a great point. Just as I was observing, the Political Insider has just published flashback. Biden VP pick Kamala Harris blasted him for his racist past. This is going to make a great campaign commercial, ready made.
Well, during the debates, Kamala Harris called Joe Biden a racist on television. You're a racist.
That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
And think of how crazy this reality is, that what Brew just proposed, that scenario is, I consider to be absolutely possible. That's amazing when you consider that.
Well look,
Hillary
used body doubles with both Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump during the 2016 debates.
No doubt about it.
Right. They've been using body doubles, a lot of these leaders, politicians, so on, for 1,000 years. You know, using body doubles and so on and so forth is nothing new, and people can't even get it past their head that it's a body double. Or today's day and age, you call it woo-woo. It's the woo-woo that they actually have these clones, cloning their cats, cloning their dogs, cloning themselves out of Hollywood, the politicians, leaders across the world. Allegedly, this clone technology is very real, and we've had these clones going around in front of our faces. Now, I don't know how much I believe in that, but it's talked about often as in fact more than theory.
Well, we'll have to check the ears on that one, won't we, Brew?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the ears or something with the eyeball, there's all sorts
the
of indicators. So on something with the tongue.
The eye tooth ratio.
Well, there's something also with the tongue, you know, color of the tongue or discolorization. I'm not even sure. But let me say Biden. The reason it's not that they believed in Biden, that they really wanted Biden as a candidate. They put Biden in there to try and keep him protected from being prosecuted for the Ukraine stuff. He actually, Rudy Giuliani was investigating Ukraine. All the Ukraine investigations were going on and so on and so forth. And they told Biden, look, get in the race. He says, hey, look, I can't get in the race because, you know, of all this stuff in Ukraine, they're coming after me. They said, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. We'll just say it's going after your political opponent. And they got him in there anyway. Even remember, if you remember back when before Biden even announced he was going to run for president, they delayed his announcement for like a week or so. And that's because they were still hee-hawing around because he didn't know if he could do it or not. So finally he did it. It's all been a cover up for Ukraine. And the reason Susan Rice even was any of these candidates are trying to get into race is to cover up and try and be protected from the criminal activity. Not because they're good, not because they're great or favorable. Is because they're trying to protect themselves and anyone that goes after them for the criminalities that they have, they'll cite the going after your political opponent, but it can't work anymore. It's not even a law. Courtesy,
a practice,
professional courtesy,
tradition. Yeah. No, Brew, I think you make excellent points. I just don't think they can get away with it when they're dealing with the Donald. I mean, this guy is nobody's fool. He's going to see through all this shit. He already has. I think he's making mincemeat of them already. Look, when he came up with these executive orders to move forward with a stimulus relief package when the Democrats wouldn't negotiate, he just pulled the rug right out from under him. I mean, this guy is a political genius, in my opinion, and I predict he's going to take 40 to 45 states, given the amount of black support he's going to receive. Even with Kamala on the ticket, that's not going to impress any blacks. They're going to look at her as the whore she is.
Well, I'll tell you what he'll do if he wants to take even more states in 45, and I have my doubts about that, Jim, because I think it's a big stage play. I think if we just consider that even, 30-40% of what Brew talks about is true, then, you know, what we're looking at is the world of illusion. We're all sitting in the audience watching a magic show, and we talk about voting as if, okay, what's the next trick that we want to see? But all Trump, and this is the thing that's frustrating about him, all Trump would have to do to increase his popularity through the roof is to start issuing these executive orders and make these states, right, start to reopen business completely, start to reduce yes. or repeal these ridiculous mask restrictions that makes everybody, in my opinion, look like a damn fool. And I was just talking the other day with our friend Mona, and she feels the same way I do. It's not so much that I get hassled or that I have to deal with various people in stores and other places telling me I need to wear a mask. I can generally handle that. I don't look forward to it. But what upsets me, what makes me sad, what makes me angry is to go out and everywhere I see people wearing masks. Just seeing it makes me just kind of just cringe. Yes. I can't stand it.
Disheartening in the extreme. Listen, I don't know when the break's going to come now. We've only got a couple minutes. I just want to thank you guys for coming on. It's great to have these conversations again. And Giuseppe has volunteered to be my producer for the future. So you'll be sure to have ready access here. And I'm really looking forward to having a lot more of these conversations. I'm just delighted you were able to plug in today.
Well, and it only gets better because Professor Fetzer is going to be the featured guest this Friday on The Perfect Triangle with Scorpio and I, and everyone here is welcome to call in and join in the discussion. So there'll be much more, and every Tuesday now. And it's just great to have you back, Professor. No kidding. It's just fantastic.
Well, I'm delighted. I miss you guys. You know, I was hoping you might be able to show up over on the Jim the Conspiracy Guy, but it turns out I can't get direct callers with that program, so I wanted to come back and get the kind of interaction we've had in the past and bring you up to date on what I'm doing and hear your thoughts about all these matters, which I've so enjoyed hearing in the past. So, Giuseppe, thank you. I know it's my show here, it's the raw deal once again, but I want to thank you and Scorpio and Paul and Brew for calling in. It's been wonderful, and I look forward to talking to you again, probably already Friday, here on Giuseppe's show.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.